sepia-toned photo of a studio lot wavers, then turns into the WB Shield, Warner Brothers Pictures, an AOL Time Warner company. Now a computer-generated dove circles a rippling pool of water. Bel Air Entertainment. You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. The service is primarily intended for viewers who are blind or visually impaired. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. As gray smoke covers blackness, words appear. Warner Brothers Pictures presents.
OCD from Engine 35, we're on scene at 902 Sunnyvale, large six-story...
In association with Bel Air Entertainment, a David Foster production and Andrew Davis film. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Gordy Brewer. Collateral Damage. A swirl of fire retreats into a ceiling. In a blazing apartment building, a fireman breaks in a door. More yellow-clad firefighters aim hoses at patches of the spreading fire. As another races down a smoky hallway, tenants brush past the advancing firemen. One rescuer points a team of firefighters down the destroyed hall. Their burly leader stops his companions as tinder falls from the flaming ceiling. They advance as more rescued tenants pass.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Gordy, we still got people trapped at both ends of the hall.
All right, guys. Heads up. Let's do it.
Gordy leads his team up the stairwell as another firefighter douses a flaming doorway. Gordy points one man into a room.
Check there.
Wearing oxygen masks, the men start in.
Please.
Gordy aims his helmet spotlight down the hall. Gordy charges, leaping a 12-foot gap in the floor. As he lands, the edge gives way. The captain drives his axe into the floor, catching himself. Jack uses a radio. Gordy climbs the axe handle back up.
Please, somebody help me.
Freeing his axe point, the captain advances, flanked by flames, and finds an old woman lying beside a bed.
Oh,
he removes his face mask.
You put on my mask.
Thank you.
Okay, breathe.
Get your ass over here. Get your ass out.
Firemen prop a ladder under the gap.
Hey, ready to go, man. Get that woman out of here.
All right, come on.
Gordy carries the woman into the hallway.
Come on.
Sidestepping past the flaming walls, the captain passes her off to firemen on the ladder. Gordy faces the hallway. A massive fireball erupts, knocking him down. Now, a sleeping blonde woman opens her eyes. She sits up, urgently. A digital clock reads 6:33 a.m. Nearby sunroom, Gordy puts a model space shuttle together with a six-year-old boy.
And see, the blue goes to blue. Here, if we put it right in here, you see this one blue here, down here, port the wing, so it stays stable. Good. There we are. Look at this.
The woman wanders out into the sunroom.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Mom, look what we made.
Oh, Maddie, that is
sure,
so
mommy, come
cool.
On.
Gordy lifts the boy.
That must have taken hours.
Oh, I've heard him listen to 4 a.m. He was already up when I got home. I think he's a little sore throat.
I think he should see Dr. Bob today.
Later in the shower, Maddie scrubs his dad's hair.
Trouble. Matt is going to be green under double.
Uh-huh. Hey, Dr. Bob can squeeze him in at 11:30, but I have to be at the hospital at 12:15, so I can take him, but can you pick him up?
Matt's mom lifts the phone.
Yeah, great. 11:30 is fine.
Oh, get you out of there. Come on, you're all clean.
Yeah.
Now in an office plaza, Matt walks with his mother as he plays with the toy shuttle.
See, I told you that doctor would make you feel better. Mm-hmm. You want a hot dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
They approach a vending cart.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What can I do for you?
Two hot dogs, diet soda, and what do you want to drink?
Orange juice.
Okay, two hot dogs.
Yeah.
By the curb, a police officer arrives on a three-wheeled motorcycle. Matt and his mom find an open table at a lunch patio.
Here we go, bud.
Daddy?
Her watch reads 12:05. The officer parks his motorcycle in front of the building.
Stay right around in here, okay, honey?
Matt pretends to fly his model around the patio. Appearing through some windows behind him, the officer walks up to the building's entrance. White letters on the stone read Consulate General of Colombia. The officer opens a ticket book and starts down the street. Planter box separates the sidewalk from the lunch patio. The officer's helmet bobs along as Matt plays just alongside the planter. Outside the patio, the officer slips a parking ticket onto a windshield, then scans the street. A brown truck with Gordy behind the wheel drives closer. The officer walks past a cafe and tucks his ticket book away. Gordy parks the curb near him. The officer lowers his sunglasses, peering up the street. A motorcade of black vehicles cruises toward them. The officer peers sternly at the passing limousine's window. Gordy gets out of his truck.
Officer? Excuse me, officer. Excuse me. I'm just going to pick up my kid.
Okay.
If you don't mind. It's just going to be a minute, okay? Thank you.
Sure.
He strides past the patrolman, smiling. Gordy glances back once as the officer dons sunglasses, then continues on. Now the motorcade arrives in front of the consulate, parking by the officer's motorcycle. On the lunch patio, Matt spots his father.
There he is!
Where?
Gordy waves from down the block. Meanwhile, a general exits the limo with a dignitary. Several suited agents escort them toward the consulate.
This way.
Matt and his mother wave across to Gordy. A balding agent leads the arrivals inside. Matt giggles from his mother's tickling.
See, told you he'd be here.
The policeman's motorcycle explodes. The limo overturns and glass showers the consulate lobby. Executives on the patio are thrown down, including Matt and his mother. A wave of heat rustles Gordy's hair as the flames disperse. Gordy runs forward and gets hit by a taxi cab. He rolls from the hood to the roof, then tumbles into the street. His cheek bounces on the pavement as he falls unconscious. Pedestrians flee past the massacred patio. A guard lies sprawled across the consulate reception desk, and flames rise off the destroyed motorcycle.
Okay, I want you to find Dilly, Perry, Copeland. Get him up here right now. Agent in charge is arriving. I want paperwork in 10 minutes.
Now a tall agent issues orders to FBI and rescue personnel. He strides off down the bombed street. Matt's toy shuttle lies amid the patio's shattered glass. A coroner makes a chalk line around a small blood-stained sheet next to it as a man videotapes the scene. Nearby, a paramedic treats Gordy's wounds.
Gordy, we're going to need to start an IV line.
Wrapped in a blanket, Gordy shifts his bloodshot eyes away from the carnage. Now the tall agent, Dre, shows a pudgy mustached colleague the blast site.
Device functioned just after a motorcade full of brass arrived. Colombian officials, American intelligence. They're the probable targets. The guy on the phone's name is Brandt, CIA, works Colombia. The other guy is Shrub, Undersecretary of State, Latin American Affairs. Didn't get a scratch on him.
Surveillance cameras pick up anything?
We're pulling the video now.
Where's LAPD on this?
Well, they know it's ours. They're helping with shoe leather.
What's the body count?
24 injured, 9 dead, including CIA, American and Colombian military, a mailman, a nurse and her little boy. That's the father over there.
Gordy limps along as the coroners pass him.
Gordy, we need to get you on the gurney.
He follows the stretcher bearers until they stop beside a child-sized body on a second gurney. Gordy touches the adult-sized white sheet, and the coroners load the two corpses into a van. Gordy's eyes well with tears as he takes shallow breaths. As Jack steps up beside him, they shut the doors. He stares after them as the paramedic and Jack help Gordy into an ambulance. Now the balding agent, Grant, leads a group out of the consulate's burnt lobby.
Okay, call all of our contacts. I want to know which son of a bitch is responsible by the end of the day.
Yes, sir.
Joe Phipps, Counterterrorism Task Force.
Peter Brandt.
I need to ask the secretary a few questions. He's
not
a witness.
Today.
Brandt sees the gray-haired undersecretary, Shrub, safely into an SUV.
All right.
It drives off.
Okay, I'll talk to you then. I take it someone in your caravan was a target.
Brandt shrugs.
It's terrorism. Everyone's a target.
You can shovel that under press, but don't give it to me. I got a bomber in the wind, and I need to know what you know.
And you will when you get clearance.
I will not tell that grieving father we let his family's killer get away because of protocol.
You can tell that father what you want. We're done talking until I know you're cleared.
Phipps narrows his eyes as Brandt walks off. Now in a busy hospital, a short-haired younger man hurries to a nurse's station.
Excuse me, nurse. Excuse me. Gordy Gordon Brewer, please.
The man finds Jack standing by Gordy's bed. A doctor was on Gordy's leg.
Jack. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Gordy. How is he?
Could have been a lot worse. The glass just missed his femoral artery by a hair. He was lucky.
Gordy sits numbly, his eyes watering. Dried scabs mark his scraped forehead. Later, they watch a White House press conference.
The full resources of the United States will be employed to make clear that we do not tolerate attacks on our citizens.
Jack paces as Barbara Ramsey speaks at the podium.
We must fight temptation to make hasty policy decisions we may come to regret. We can't allow the work of an anonymous criminal to unravel the partnership we formed with the Colombian government.
Hey.
A third man approaches Gordy's bedside.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
The fire captain stares coldly and shakes his head. As Ronnie backs off, he meets Jack's gaze, who motions him over to the wall-mounted television. Jack leans in close to Ronnie as they watch the press conference.
What do we know? The president's coming on in a minute, but I doubt we'll say anything new. Turner says the FBI knows the bomb was hidden in a stolen police motorcycle. They just don't know who triggered it.
Gordy's brow furrows.
I saw a cop.
His off-duty co-workers face him.
I saw him.
Gordy kicks off the sheets and gets up. He yanks off his IV tube and limps out.
Gordy! Gordy, get back here! Get me!
I saw him.
Gordy's friends dash after him. Now in an FBI operations center, Brandt's on the phone.
You're not going anywhere.
If you have any problems, you go through Shrub's office over at Stays.
Green light fills the cavernous space. Nearby, Dre confers with Phipps.
Yeah, he could help.
Skin of his teeth, that guy. The classic agency mold.
I want a copy of every visa stamp and a Colombian passport over the last 6 months.
Everybody's covering up this guy.
Now you know why they call him Spooks.
Gordy and Jack arrive with an escort.
Must have used some kind of liquid explosive.
They pass the ruined hot dog cart.
You'll follow me, sir?
Gordy spots the mangled motorcycle.
Right this way, sir. I'll take you to Agent Phipps.
An agent measures painted silhouettes on the floor representing corpses. Other technicians work at desktop lab stations. Gordy steps before a wall-sized TV playing surveillance footage. He watches the police officer park his three-wheeled motorcycle.
Gordy Brewer's here.
The fireman.
Yeah. Says he talked to the cop.
Gordy stares at the footage. On the screen, the officer steps close to the camera.
Mr. Brewer, we appreciate you coming down here. We know this guy. His name is Claudio Perini. We think he's a terrorist who calls himself El Lobo, the wolf.
It's definitely the guy I bumped into. I talked to him. I told him I was picking up my son. The son of a bitch smiled at me.
We think that the bomb may have been triggered by a cell phone. Did he have one on him?
I don't know.
How long between the time you saw him and the explosion?
5 seconds. Maybe 10, most.
That's enough time to get on the phone and make a call.
Maybe. This could be tough to watch, sir.
Another camera view shows Gordy's son and wife waving from the patio.
I was late. They shouldn't have been there. They shouldn't have been there.
No, Mr. Brewer, the bomber shouldn't have been there.
Mr. Brewer, this is Peter Brandt, CIA Latin American section. He was one of the targets.
They shake hands.
Sorry for your loss. Is there anything I can do for you? I promise you this, one way or the other, we'll catch that son of a bitch.
As Brandt squeezes past, Gordy stops him.
How did I get a hold of you?
Brandt pulls a business card from his jacket and places it in the fire captain's fingers. He pats the burly man on the shoulder and leaves. In the room's green-blue glow, Gordy scowls toward the large wall screen. Daytime. In a cemetery, firefighters in dress uniforms and mourners in civilian clothes face a white casket. As they disperse, an older woman kisses Gordy's cheeks. Jack and Ronnie stand stiffly behind him. Now Gordy touches the coffin, which lies adorned with a pink floral arrangement. He stands up straight, solemnly regarding the casket. Now, only Gordy's co-worker, Maine, as the fire captain watches the white coffin being lowered into the earth. Now at home, Gordy climbs a wooden staircase, passing a large stained glass window of tree branches and a pinkish sky. At the top, he looks into an unfinished room. A half-empty wine glass sits on a ladder near hanging strips of wallpaper. Our view fades to white. In the bedroom, a locket sits beside a wooden jewelry box and framed photos. Gordy sits on the bed, staring with his collar open and tie loose. An empty swing set sits outside the window. Later, Gordy naps on the couch, his eyes open.
This is Gordy.
And Matthew Brewer.
Gordy limps to the phone and pounds it with his fist.
And now, back to Rick Garcia with more on the bombing in Los Angeles.
He faces the TV.
In front of the State Department, where earlier today the headquarters of America's counterterrorism apparatus received a videotape from El Lobo, or the Wolf, a Colombian terrorist who officials believe is responsible for at least 7 bombings.
The TV shows a person in gloves and a black hood like a ski mask with no eye holes.
On behalf of the people of Colombia, I claim responsibility for the bombing in Los Angeles. The bombing was an act of self-defense against American war criminals. As long as America continues its aggression in Colombia, we will bring the war home to you, and you will not feel safe in your own beds. Colombia is not your country. Get out now. Sangre o libertad.
The figure smacks one gloved hand into the other.
For more, we go to Jenny Luce in Los Angeles.
I'm here with Efraim Ortiz Dominguez, spokesman for the Latin American Solidarity Committee, a group known to be sympathetic to the Army of Colombian Liberation. Sir, you characterize the ALC as freedom fighters. Isn't the bombing here, in fact, just a brutal act of terrorism?
The Wolf did nothing but bring to the United States what the United States has brought to Colombia.
But surely the killing of innocent people like Ann and Matt Brewer is a terrorist act.
The deaths of the mother and the little boy are regrettable. It's called collateral damage.
Gordy's eyes shift angrily. Later, 2 surveillance technicians stake out Ortiz's offices.
Ortiz, do you want to take the call or not? CNN is holding. Washington Post is on the other line.
Am I the only one here?
Agent Crosby will believe you in half an hour.
Now in the Solidarity Committee's dingy office.
Colombia Linea 2 and New York Times on 1.
Wait, put him on hold. But that's my position.
Gordy arrives and barges in.
I'm not going to change it. Why should I change it?
So you want collateral damage, huh? I give you collateral damage.
He flips a table and topples shelves. The stakeout agents get up.
It looks like a fireman.
Move in. Go now.
As agents rush the building, Gordy picks up a bat.
You want collateral?
Gordy whacks a computer monitor with the baseball bat, then kicks over a television set. He grabs Ortiz by the collar.
You tell me about the Wolf.
I don't know.
Police and FBI agents surround Gordy, guns drawn. A man fires a taser gun. Wire uncoils from the gun as 2 barbs stick into Gordy's back and stun him with electricity.
Turn it off.
Headquarters, Phipps strides into an office where 2 agents remove handcuffs from Gordy's wrists. Phipps sits facing him.
Mr. Brewer, I can't imagine what you're feeling right now, but you cannot take the law into your own hands.
I think you already lost him. I think he's long gone, otherwise he wouldn't have sent you the tape. Am I under arrest?
No, we convinced Mr. Ortiz to drop the charges. And the truth is, we're pretty sure the Wolf is back in Colombia.
Now words appear. Department of State, Dulles Annex. Inside, Brandt appears at a Senate hearing.
You, Mr. Brandt, are the reason this tragedy has occurred. It was your idea to go to the Colombian consulate with an unauthorized plan to attack the guerrillas, and then they try to blow you up. Big surprise.
Forgive me, Senator, but if you intend to argue about...
Mr. Brandt, I am not arguing. I am telling you, your mission in Colombia is terminated immediately. This is not a matter for discussion. Arrangements being made for peace talks between the Colombian government and the guerrillas.
You cannot negotiate with terrorists. Now, these guerrillas, they don't want any peace. All they want to do is sell cocaine.
Senator, Peter Brandt...
Spare me, Douglas. Peter Brandt has failed. All he's done is bring the war home to American soil. That is completely unacceptable, and you know it. This committee has given you 72 hours to pull your operatives out of Colombia.
Later in a hall, Brandt approaches the undersecretary, who grits his teeth.
I don't know why they call them the Senate intelligence hearings. They're all imbeciles.
Come on, we have been here before. You know the drill. This'll blow over. But now you're being reassigned right here to ITAG. You can find this animal, Pete. Just do it via satellite. All right? You're okay.
He walks off. Brandt beckons to a colleague and places his thumb on a print scanner by a sealed door. It opens.
I'm sick of this crap. Let's get the plane ready. We're leaving tonight.
Yes, sir.
They enter an ops center.
Peter, there's another character claiming he's the wolf.
So?
So, he asked for you by name and he knows details about the bombing that haven't been released. Dick over here.
Brandt signals for a surveillance expert to roll tape. The expert prompts Brandt to take the call.
Who's this?
You're a tough man to reach. I've been trying you for the last 3 weeks.
Brewer?
I guess you have been busy trying to find the man who killed my family, right?
Brandt signals to stop taping.
Right?
Listen, Mr. Brewer, I understand you're anxious, but we're pursuing leads as to his whereabouts. We'll keep you posted.
Tell me the truth, Brandt. You owe me that much. You're not going after him, are you?
You want the truth? The Colombian government's trying to negotiate peace with the guerrillas, and the geniuses on the hill over here who decided to let them try. We can't step foot in the guerrilla zone. So bottom line is... justice for your wife and son isn't a priority right now.
On a cordless phone in his home office, Gordy nods grimly. He slams the receiver down by a photo of his wife and son. Now Gordy studies photos of ALC members on a laptop. As he sips from an American flag coffee cup, he checks the U.S. State Department website. A header reads travel warnings and consular information. A TV plays footage of ALC tactics. Men and women in fatigues wear red bandanas around their necks. Gunmen fire skyward as choppers soar past. Now in Colombia, Brandt steps from a landed chopper.
Colonel!
Peter?
Good to see you.
Wasn't expecting to see you back.
I haven't spent 8 damn years down here. I just hand the country over to third-rate Che Guevara.
CIA station near Mompos.
They're okay, but they died to get back in the field.
In a courtyard, men play poker and ping pong. A goateed man greets Brandt.
Hey, wild man. You on furlough from the psych unit?
But this was the psych unit.
I'm your psych unit.
Okay.
As Brandt walks off, a rugged guy sneers sportingly after him. Now in the States, Gordy opens his door.
Jack.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Come in.
Did you meet a friend of mine? Seth Koontz.
Sorry about your loss.
Thank you. You know, Ed spent 2 years as a military advisor down in Colombia. He can help you.
ALC clippings and photos line Gordy's home office.
See, you're doing a little homework here, huh?
Well, if I don't do it, it seems no one else will.
You'd have to be freaking cracked to go down there now. You can't even land in Colombia without a State Department stamp on your passport. And you can sure bet you were on the restricted list 5 minutes after that bomb went off.
Ed notices another map.
Oh, yeah. Well, Panama. Back door into Colombia. You have been doing some homework.
Now Gordy hikes through the jungles of Central America.
Well, let's say you did manage to get into the country without getting kidnapped or killed. You'd never make it into the guerrilla zone without a pass. And they are sure as hell not going to give you one.
Look, you're going to help me or not?
Tell me your plan.
I'm going to cross the border on foot through the Darien Gap. I understand the jungle is very difficult to patrol. I think I can make it to Valencia in one day. From Valencia, it's 200 miles into the guerrilla zone, right? I'm sure I can pay someone to drive me to Mompos.
No, I don't think so. You approach the wrong person, you're a dead man. Besides, next to drugs, kidnapping gringos is the second most profitable business down there. Get on a bus as fast as you can.
Nighttime in Valencia, Gordy boards a bus.
Mompos?
Si, Mompos.
Gracias.
A man watches sternly as Gordy plunks into a window seat.
If you make it to the bus, all right.
Thanks for your advice.
It's only good advice if you take it.
Daytime. The bus breaks hard. Gordy wakes up. At the driver's shout, the passengers scramble.
¿Qué pasa?
Up ahead. Roadblock.
Who are they looking for?
Anyone not like them.
And help passengers out of the bus. Up ahead, motorists stand by their cars. One gets frisked. A boy and young man hold their hands behind their heads. The man prays. Three elderly ladies pray over two cloth-draped bodies. Now the bus driver inches the bus forward, providing a moving barrier for passengers walking alongside it. The rugged man from Brandt's team sees Gordy and other passengers running. Gordy lifts a girl on his arm and flees with others down a hillside. The gunmen take aim. Gordy hands off the child. As men, women, and children flee, gunshots take down a couple of passengers. Now the rugged man holds three young women at gunpoint. Subtitles appear. We're not guerrillas. Then why did you run? Everybody was running. Don't lie or you'll die. Gordy decks him. As the man tumbles down a slope, the young women run. As two more gunmen rush in, Gordy bolts. The rugged man gives chase. All three members of Brandt's team sprint after Gordy. The fireman reaches a ledge, grabs hold of a thick root, and rappels down a steep outcropping. He grits his teeth as he descends, his wrists smeared with dirt. The root snaps, and Gordy tumbles the rest of the way down the hill. Still wearing his backpack, he lands on a hay-strewn footpath. As more gunmen jog into view, Gordy springs to his feet and runs. Men approach from both sides. Gordy peers down at the river, drops his backpack, and leaps down the embankment. He drops 20 feet into the water. The gunmen fire into the river. The bullets miss Gordy as they pierce the inky blue water. Now Brandt's men clamber down the stony riverbank. Gordy surfaces in churning rapids. The water carries him over a 7-foot rock. He flails underwater, then surfaces again. The river plunges him over a 15-foot drop. He disappears into the white foam, then re-emerges. Drawing in a great breath, Gordy attempts to swim. His gaze fixes on a third waterfall up ahead. As his limbs make tiny splashes, Gordy goes over the falls and plummets more than 80 feet. Now, Brandt's gunmen peer over the ledge. The rugged man and a colleague stand, rifles poised, behind a third on a precipice. The rugged man turns.
Peloton, descender y rociar el río.
An aerial view circles the mammoth waterfall. Later, Gordy's hand reaches out of the water and grips a rock. Gordy grits his teeth as he pulls himself onto the boulders and look around in the shade.
Boys found his passport in his backpack when he escaped one of our roadblocks.
Brandt studies a reward notice showing Gordy's passport photo.
Suicide.
Only two ways he can go. Upriver, on the road to Mumbles. And we control both.
We know he's here. Gorillas damn sure know he's here.
Oh, they will soon. I want you to make sure of it, all right?
All right. I gave you 12 hours before we find your fireman face down in a lime pit.
Show Washington you can't negotiate with terrorists, wouldn't
it? Now in an ALC camp, a lean gorilla, Roman, approaches the wolf, Claudio Perini.
Los Angeles was a great success. Finally, the hypocrites wanted to negotiate.
Claudio addresses a half dozen soldiers.
You see, Americans hide behind family values, false ideals. They have forgotten the reality of war. Not like us.
Roman hands him a bulletin.
They found his passport. It's coming from un post.
Claudio reads the document.
Excellent. Take a fireman from Los Angeles. When America hears the story, they cry rivers of tears. Capture him. We hold him for ransom, and they will pay. Take two teams. One at the harbor, one in the town square. Find him before the police do and bring him to me. If they don't pay, we kill him.
Now on open water, Gordy catches a ride on a fishing boat.
All roads end in Mumbles. The only way into the guerrilla zone from there is upriver.
Soldiers pass on in boat. Gordy eyes a concrete wall and lookout tower adorned with Colombian flags. At a seaside market, men and women chop and scale fish. Gordy helps unload a crate from the fishing boat. His gaze fixes on three smaller motorboats.
I'd go upriver in one of those.
No one goes up river. Not without a pass.
Later, Gordy strides along the bustling pier.
His enemy the pass to get into the zone. Tell me how to get one.
You might be able to buy a pass from one of the locals. God help you if you ask the wrong one.
He steps past a police truck.
Look, this is where I pretty much run out of good advice.
Two policemen haul a man indoors. Now a man hawking watches accosts Gordy.
Hello, can I get a look?
Oh, much as gracias.
As Gordy moves on his way, the hustler opens a leather leaflet and finds the reward notice bearing Gordy's likeness. The hustler hurries to a man in civilian dress playing a game with two police officers. He points to Gordy's photo. Now in a town square, a dingy carousel turns circles near patio umbrellas and cotton candy vendors. Someone wears a giant devil mask. A handful of ALC men and women in civilian dress receive a hand signal from Roman, also in street clothes. Now, as Gordy crosses into the square, a slender woman holding a little boy's hand approaches from another direction. The boy runs ahead and waves to his guardian. Two guys on a motorcycle whip past Gordy on a collision course for the boy. As the woman grabs the child out of the way, the men wipe out, then spring to their feet and confront her. As she shoves one of the men, Gordy steps between them.
Hey. What are you doing?
The woman consoles her boy. The motorcyclist and his riding buddy glare at the American. Under Gordy's cool stare, they leave. Now the hustler approaches the square with the police. Gordy faces the woman.
Boy, okay?
Yes, he's okay, but I don't need any help.
I was just concerned about the boy.
In the bustle, the gorillas in street clothes prowl vigilantly.
He gets so excited. I have trouble keeping up with him. He couldn't wait to get to the festival. You know, this carnival he loves.
Roman draws a gun.
I'm Serena.
Gordy.
This is my son, Mauro.
Gordy.
Gordy extends his hand.
Thanks.
A strolling ALC member uncaps a syringe. As Gordy and Mauro shake hands and swap smiles, a third ALC member readies a gun. All three regroup behind Gordy.
Nice to meet you.
The policeman arrives, flashing his badge.
Mr. Brewer, you have to come with me.
You are on my list.
What is this about?
You are in this country illegally.
No, I'm not here illegally.
The hustler whispers to a policeman.
You are coming with me.
Those guys over there.
As the officer reaches for his gun, an ALC woman shoots him. The lead officer then shoots her. More policemen club Gordy and Roman to the ground. Later, a police pickup drives off with a half dozen apprehended men. At a jail, a guard smokes in his lookout post. Another drags a club across a cell's bars, and a third brings in a curly-haired man.
Hey, no, seriously, Captain. I really appreciate you guys taking me without a reservation. I know how crowded it gets in here.
Roman and Gordy listen from different cells.
I'd tip you, but your chief took all my money already.
The curly-haired guy enters the cell block.
Hey, you gave away my favorite cell.
Put him next to the American. Polo junto al gringo.
Very nice. Why did you do that? Why, because he's bigger than I am?
Vamos!
Why are you doing this to me?
A guard locks the curly-haired guy in the cell next to Gordy's.
I like you too.
He reaches a hand toward Gordy.
Sean Armstrong, public lewdness. At least that's what they call it, but I swear I was just standing there.
Gordy looks at Armstrong.
Is this quiet or did somebody confiscate your tongue? Because that happens around here, you know.
Gordy gets up, crosses his cell, and accepts Armstrong's handshake.
Gordy Brewer.
Do I know you?
I doubt it.
So what are you innocent of, huh?
I'm an illegal alien.
You damn gringos can come down here and steal all the jobs. Of course, half the country doesn't want to kidnap you. The other half wants to kill you.
Gordy paces in his cell, glaring at Roman across the way.
Death squads kill the guerrillas. Guerrillas kill the military. Peasants are caught in the middle and killed by everybody. But we Canadians, flies on the wall. Don't even look at those guys unless you can kill them.
They're all guerrillas. I'm dead.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant. You work the guerrilla zone, don't you? That's how you know who they are.
Hey, can I move to a different cell, please?
Doing what?
Fix and sell heavy machinery. You satisfied?
Sell me a pass so I can look at the zone.
If you stick a sock in the Jolly Green, I'm just a wrench for hire. The powers that be found out what I do, they turn me into an organ donor. My pass is not for sale, not to you, not to anyone.
Thanks a lot.
Don't mention it.
Give me a list of everybody they picked up.
Brand heads to an SUV.
The guerrillas were after Brewer when the police showed up. Feliz Navidad.
Everyone we need to kill the wolf in the same damn jail. I'm starting to think we should put this fireman on the payroll.
Nighttime. Near the jail compound, a light shines from a watchtower. Nearby, a canopied truck parks. A woman gets out and taps the tarp-covered bed. The tarp lifts, revealing armed guerrillas in the back. The woman readies a rocket launcher and runs toward the compound. Inside the jail, guards watch a soccer game. As the guards cheer, Gordy paces in his cell. Back outside, several guerrillas duck under a low bridge. Others in the canopied truck set up a rocket launcher and sound an air horn. Inside, the imprisoned guerrillas look up.
We got some company coming over here.
Outside, guerrillas shoot rockets at the compound, which blast apart a concrete tower and wall. As guards inside hustle, prisoners in cells recessed into the floor rattle their chain-link ceilings. Now a guerrilla truck rams through a compound gate. It stops and more guerrillas hop out of it. More guerrillas hit the compound. Inside the jail, the blast force slams Armstrong and Gordy against the cell bars. Gordy grimaces, fiery light shining on his face. Now in his SUV, Brent uses a hand radio.
Oppo's jail is under attack. The gorillas are breaking out their tomb.
Get a containment team outside the jail and two army squads to clear the building. I'm on my way.
At the jail, Claudio hands off a heavy-duty circular saw. His face half covered by a black bandana, he ties a bomb to a barred window. The blast eliminates the bars and the gorillas climb through. Inside, they fire on guards. A rocket blast engulfs a police car in flames and ignites a fleeing officer. Inside the jail, flames spread through the cell block. Masked guerrillas storm in, firing on guards. Roman hurries to the front of his cell as Claudio arrives. Gordy ducks low on the floor of his own cell and watches the dark-haired terrorist Claudio lower his bandana. Now, in a black-and-white flashback, Gordy remembers the cop adjusting his sunglasses outside the consulate. Back in the jail, Claudio mows down a couple of guards with his rifle. Roman gets Claudio's attention. As more guards get shot, Armstrong shouts to Claudio. A hand unlocks the recessed cells. Prisoners stream out. Now Claudio frees Roman and burning rafters collapse before them. Roman aims a gun at Gordy.
What about the fireman?
The roiling flames make Gordy's distant face hard to see.
Take him burning out! You're gonna fly!
The saw operator cuts a cell's lock. The door opens and prisoners stream out. From his cell, Gordy grabs the saw operator in a chokehold. As the gorilla falls limp, Gordy grips the electric saw through his cell bars and saws the chains. Outside with Claudio. Inside.
This is your life. I want your pants.
Gordy saws the lock off another cell.
Come on! You let me die here!
No, that's the last thing that's gonna happen to you. First, it's gonna heat up in here to 451 degrees. Then your pants will explode like a Roman candle. Then your socks will ignite. The hair on your fingernails will melt.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
Armstrong gives Gordy his pass.
It's yours, all right? Take it, huh? Come on, get me out. Get me out here, please. Come on.
Sparks fly as Gordy cuts the lock on Armstrong's cell. Now Gordy and Armstrong make their way down a drainage tunnel. At the end, Gordy climbs a ladder. On the street, firemen douse the burning watchtower. Brandt arrives, joined by the colonel and his goateed operative.
Our witnesses, they heard the prisoners call Lobo. He was here, boss.
He was into our hands like a gift from God, and they let him walk out the front door. What good's a watchtower if nobody's watching?
The rugged man speaks.
Fireman isn't here either.
Oh, no kidding. The fireman escaped the fire.
Gordy and Armstrong leave the area.
Sorry I had to scare you.
Hey, I know when it's time to retire.
Besides, you weren't going to let me burn.
Gordy hands him some money.
What's this for? Huh?
For your retirement fund and for some additional information. Tell me everything I need to know.
Get yourself back harbor. The guy who takes me upriver, his name's Omar. He'll set you up. When you get to San Pablo, ask for Felix Ramirez. Tell him you're my replacement. Tell him I was arrested for something really raunchy. Good luck. You'll need it.
He shakes Gordy's hand. Now our view soars over a boat speeding down a river. On board, Gordy rides with the pilot and another passenger. Wearing a Panama hat, Gordy squints ahead. Under a leafy canopy, Gordy eyes mangroves along the bank. As they pass two small fires, they spot a body face down in the leggy tree roots.
God, who did this?
They pass more bodies.
Aurora.
The guerrillas. They think these people help the bare militaries.
Near a burned-out hut, a young man in a loincloth stands leaning on a pole. Strings of colorful beads hang around his neck as he stares blankly. Now words appear. Magdalena River, border of guerrilla zone. The river forks in the dense jungle. As Gordy's boat speeds along, another boat approaches from behind. Gordy glances back. On the guerrilla boat, gunmen aim weapons at Gordy and the others.
Put your hands up and hold up your pass!
As the third boat speeds up, Gordy and the passenger hold up their hands. Gordy pulls out his pass and displays it. As the third boat draws closer, a female ALC member boards Gordy's.
Here is Dame Pase.
Tu pase.
Si, pase.
A rifleman aims at Gordy.
Pase.
No te muevas.
Ese es mi pase.
Dice que es el mecánico.
I replace Armstrong.
Llama por radio. A ver si es verdad. Necesito autorización para traer un mecánico que busca.
Adelante.
Es el mecánico.
Now flanked by the guerrilla boats, Gordy's boat continues. Later, a sentry wearing epaulets of the Colombian flag sees the boats arrive. On shore, another Colombian soldier with his feet up smokes.
Chico, ya llegamos con el mecánico Felix.
Felix, tu mecánico está aquí.
The dark-haired Felix stops chatting with two women and leaves them leaning on his souped-up suburban 4x4. Wearing a Metallica t-shirt, Felix slows as he spots Gordy. Gordy stops at a joint table where a smoking Colombian soldier eyes him suspiciously over a clipboard.
You're not Sean Armstrong.
That's for damn sure.
Felix? Heinrich Beckmann. Armstrong's replacement.
Oh, yeah. Says you, buddy. Look, this is a serious breach of protocol, okay? I put in the papers, I crossed all my T's, and this is what I get? Come on, it's like ordering a pizza around here. You ask for Canadian bacon, you end up with a German sausage, for crying out loud.
Hey, you don't want me to fix your engine, just say so. I go back home. Bye.
Gordy walks off.
Oh, hey, come on. Don't be such a sauerkraut, come on. Tell me what happened to my main man, Armstrong, that's all. I mean, how do I know you didn't bring him just to take his pass?
Armstrong was arrested yesterday. He was caught touring the police chief's daughter.
That's Armstrong, that double-dipping whore that he is. I love that guy. I wish I were him, buddy.
You still can't let him through, Felix.
Gordy's smile fades.
Ay, socio. Primo, venga.
Felix pulls the guard aside.
If I can't get my generator fixed, I can't pay my taxes.
Gordy notices a magazine's headline. La Guerra en Colombia visita Los Angeles.
Salary, and it could be your throat. I'll let you marinate on that, okay?
You can bring him back here. First thing in the morning.
Felix winks at the guard, puffing on his cigarette. Gordy smiles at the guard.
Danke.
Now at a parade, girls march behind a banner that reads, No Mas Guerra Sucia. Words appear, San Pablo, capital of guerrilla zone.
Hey, you know, your English is pretty good for a German guy.
Thanks.
They watch Suburban.
When did you learn yours?
Ah, oh, man. Yeah, I've been to New York, Chicago, Miami, L.A. for a little bit. But I want to go back. I'm going to go back someday, man, when I'm a big shot. I got too much going on to be begging some corporate ass to put my CD on, you know? I want to cut an album, man. It's kind of hardcore campesino rap, you know what I'm saying? You want to hear a little taste?
Guess if I have to.
Yeah, with that attitude, it's not going to be a lot of fun, but there you go.
As the parade passes, Felix drives on.
Ha, ha, ha. Gorilla thriller. Take me to Manila. What do we got? It's smooth like vanilla. Hottie, eeny, miny, mo. Tell the CIA to go. They gotta get out, you know. What do you think, man?
It's fantastic. I think you're gonna be a winner.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're in the wrong profession, trust me.
Wow, man. Can't believe that. That's exactly how I feel, man.
As Gordy checks out gorillas in the streets, Felix holds up a black knit cap.
All right, here, put this on.
What's this for?
It's for your own protection, man. You don't want to know how to get to where we're going. Come on. Boy, it's not going to be more than 15 minutes, I'm telling you.
Gordy removes his hat and sets it on the dashboard, then slides on the cap, pulling it down tightly over his face. Now Felix's SUV travels down a worn, rutted path cut through tall grass. Later, it enters the gate to a lavish villa. The SUV pulls to a stop, and a gorilla opens Gordy's door.
Okay, we're here, babe. Don't get funky on me. Peekaboo.
Felix removes the cap from Gordy's face, gets out, and walks around the vehicle. Eyeing his surroundings, Gordy joins Felix.
So what do you think of this place, huh? Pretty snazzy, right?
Where are we?
My place.
Tin roof pavilion, shield workers at tables.
It smells here.
Profits, big profits.
This is a cocaine plant.
Yeah, I know. But look, just because I'm brown and down doesn't mean I want to work for minimum wage. You know what I mean? Because if I don't do it, Bolivia will do it. If Bolivia don't do it, Chinese will do it. If Chinese don't do it, Mr. and Mrs. America will do it. As a matter of fact, they are doing it. Jesus, I'm going to put you in my next video, I'm telling you.
A worker stomps leaves.
Look, the problem is with the diesel generator. I mean, I know I'm supposed to let it cool down and everything, but it's simple drugonomics. I just can't crank it out fast enough, you know? Those Silicon Valley geeks must be emailing it to each other.
There's the one.
They face a machine.
Not to put any pressure on you, but Armstrong was a magician with that.
Don't worry, I will make it work.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Gordy removes his shirt, revealing bulging packs.
Real money.
A coked-up worker has unblinking eyes fixed in a zombie-like stare. At the generator, Gordy tinkers with as he gazes around the compound. He fills a cigarette lighter with acetone. Across the plaza, a grenade-armed gorilla approaches workers who rake product in troughs under the roofed pavilions. As Gordy wipes his hands, he spots the gorilla hanging the explosives belt on a post. Now with Claudio.
His name was Heinrich Beckmann.
The Colombian guard from the river checkpoint reports to him.
He had a hat on. I didn't recognize him. I made a mistake.
Claudio smiles. He stands and flings a magazine at him. He then turns and nods soberly to two henchmen. They rush forward, grabbing the guard.
No, please, Claudio. Listen to me, Claudio. Please, Claudio.
As Claudio picks up a snake, the henchmen pry the guard's mouth open with a clamp. Roman and the henchmen look on compliantly as Claudio positions the snake near the guard's open mouth.
Discipline is everything. Discipline and punishment.
Claudio feeds the snake's head toward the guard's mouth. Now at the cocaine compound, Gordy works on the generator. His gaze shifts from the troughs of white powder under heat lamps to a grenade in the belt hanging on the post. Gordy opens a circuit breaker box above it and takes the grenade as he feigns wiping his hands with a rag. Now he stuffs a fibrous wad into the mouth of the acetone bottle, along with wires from a car battery. Next, he bears down on a syringe's plunger, injecting liquid into one of the heat lamp bulbs. He screws the bulb back into a socket. Nighttime. As a truck of gorillas arrives at the compound, Gordy tapes a wired charge to a bottle. Sweat glistens on his furrowed brow as he glances up at the sound of the approaching vehicle. As Roman strides from the truck, others hop off. Felix meets them.
Hey, what's up, dog? I thought I was paid up for the whole month, man.
Where's the mechanic?
Gordy hurries off with the bomb.
Calm down, dog.
El mecánico, ¿a dónde está?
Come with me over here. I got him working his ass off, man. You know how Germans are, like cyborgs.
Felix leads them to the shop.
Seem a little tense. You need a little R&R, man?
No habla tanta. Llévame para el mecánico.
Come on, Roman. You got pull. You can get me a new generator, man. Heinrich, I got some friends for you.
The shop is empty. Felix picks up Gordy's hat.
¿Qué es esto, Felix?
You know, my bad, man. You know what it is? I told him once he fixed that gas kit, he could take five, you know, so he's probably in the latrine.
¡Vámonos!
As they head along a walkway, Gordy evades through the shadows.
Now you can blend in this big Neanderthal white albino.
Alejandro, bloquea la entrada!
Gordy throws the bomb in an open door.
What the hell was that?
Flames erupt in front of them. Heat lamps explode, igniting the cocaine. Nearby, the coked-up worker continues stomping. Fires block Felix and the gorillas.
Para cueva, va a buscar a Claudio. Muévanse.
I'm gonna make work everything out. I'm gonna cut my losses, pay you double, triple, whatever it takes. Two or three times, I'll pay you the amount, right? Look, I'll work it out, man.
Vámonos.
Roman shoots Felix, who flies back and hits the ground. As the gorillas pile into the truck, Gordy comes into view under the chassis. He meets Felix's fading gaze as the man's head falls limp. The truck starts off and Gordy firms his grip. As the villa compound burns, the truck speeds away. In the cab, Roman uses a hand radio.
Roman, contesta. Fuera.
¿Está todo seguro ya?
Sí, ya, todo calmado, todo calmado.
Later, guerrilla guards open a gate and the truck passes into another compound. Claudio peers down from a veranda. Roman gets out and a man tosses him an assault rifle.
Preparen todo para el campo. Dale, muévete, muévete. Oye, muévete.
As the gorillas hustle off the truck, Gordy eases himself to the ground and rolls out from underneath. In his office, Claudio faces Roman. Subtitles. Commander, we're not safe here. Let's go. You're joking, right? He's just a fireman. If he knows where we are, the CIA might know too. That's enough. Handle it. Let me finish here. Skulking through the shadows, Gordy weaves down a corridor. In the office, Claudio waves Roman off.
Nada más. Afuera.
Roman nods and leaves. As his men follow, Claudio shrugs irritably. Outside, Gordy peers up from a flight of steps leading to Claudio's veranda. Gordy darts to a corner and peeks around it. Through a window, he sees Claudio working at a desk. As Claudio stands and faces the window, Gordy ducks his head back. The guerrilla leader holds up several transparencies. As Claudio turns away from the window, Gordy dashes across to a gas tank beside the porch. Inside, Claudio packs files into a briefcase. Outside, Gordy unwraps the grenade, gently lays it down, and takes out a rubber band. As he slides the rubber band around the grenade's detonation lever, he keeps a watchful eye on the window. Inside, Claudio crosses to a bulletin board and Gordy ducks down. Taking out a plastic tube, he squeezes drops of liquid onto the rubber band. Inside, Claudio removes bulletins from the board. By the gas tank, Gordy carefully yanks out the grenade safety pin. He places the grenade on top of the butane tank, then lowers a hinged rusty hood over it. Claudio walks to the doorway and peers outside. Gordy ducks down. Claudio frowns and goes back inside. Now Gordy runs to a pole and slides down it. Under the rusty hood, the liquid eats away at the rubber band, and the grenade's lever pushes steadily against its weakening hold. Now, Gordy emerges from between two buildings and starts down a San Pablo street. He starts to walk at a casual, steady pace, then stops and looks behind him. Selena and Mauro approach hand in hand. The boy's free hand holds a toy dinosaur with red-lit eyes. Gordy keeps going. Then he recalls Anne and Matt waving to him from the patio by the consulate building in Los Angeles. Gordy turns back.
No! Stay back there!
Claudio!
Stop!
Stay back! Claudio!
Claudio draws his pistol and runs outside. As the gas tank explodes, he vaults off the veranda onto a parked car. Gordy leaps on Selena and Mauro, shielding them from the heat. The blast blows a half dozen guards off a porch. Now as Claudio kicks Gordy, Roman and several men join him. Selena grabs Mauro and runs off. The men kick Gordy repeatedly.
Levántate! Levántate!
As they hold Gordy at gunpoint, Selena interrupts. Subtitles. What's wrong with you? What do you want? Think about what you're doing. Claudio eyes the American, then his wife. The guerrillas drag Gordy away, and Claudio paces the street, casting angry glances. Selena eyes him, then walks off in the other direction. Daytime. Rustic buildings ring a grassy clearing where villagers and armed guerrillas pass each other on foot. Inside a stone barn, Gordy awakens to Selena's touch as she dabs a towelette to his lips and nose. He winces.
Rest now.
As she gently cleans a raw bruise on his forehead, Gordy's bewildered gaze fixes on her face.
Who are you?
I'm his wife.
Gordy blinks, then the door opens. Claudio enters with Roman. He smiles sarcastically and shakes his head.
Get out.
As Selena stands and brushes past him, Claudio watches crossly. She glances back on her way out. As Roman shuts the door, Claudio shifts impatiently with his hands on his hips. He glances at Gordy.
You're fired, man, huh?
Gordy sneers.
A coward. Who kills women and children?
Claudio smirks and points.
You Americans are so naive. You see a peasant with a gun on the news, you change the channel. But you never ask, why does a peasant need a gun?
Claudio shrugs.
Why? Because you think you're the only ones who have a right to fight for independence.
Independence to do what? To kill my wife and my son?
Gordy's gaze remains fixed on Claudio as the wolf steps closer. Claudio stares down at him, then squats.
I remember your face from Los Angeles. That was the face of a man who saved lives. Well, your face has changed. You think your wife and son will recognize you now?
I remember your face too.
Claudio cocks his head.
Smile.
Gordy gazes off, transfixed.
Just before you killed them.
He eyes Claudio, who shifts his gaze.
You're gonna pay for that.
Claudio eyes Gordy blankly.
You're gonna pay for that.
Well, it seems we're both willing to kill for a cause. So what's the difference between you and I?
Gordy drops his gaze from his captor's smug smile.
The difference is, I'm just gonna kill you.
Claudio stares intently at Gordy, then playfully smiles. He pats Gordy on the shoulder and nudges a fist sportingly to his chin. He steps away, then backhands him hard. Roman beats Gordy with his rifle. Gordy elbows him, then grabs Claudio by the groin. Gordy slings his chains around Claudio's neck from behind. They drop. Gordy lies under Claudio, tightening his stranglehold. As Roman jabs the rifle butt downward, Gordy uses Claudio as a shield. The first blow hits Claudio's stomach, but the second strikes Gordy. As Roman continues beating him, a third gorilla rushes in and helps pry Claudio free. Now Gordy trips Roman with the chains and brings his fist down on the man's back. As Claudio catches his breath, Gordy wrangles with the third soldier. The fireman grabs the man by his braided hair and bites his ear. The man runs out, holding his head. Now as Claudio kicks Gordy's face, Roman clubs, then takes aim at the unconscious fireman.
Come on!
Claudio signals with his hand, and Roman lowers the rifle. Later, Gordy peers toward a nearby tent.
Why do you want to keep him alive?
Because he saved my life, and Mauro's.
So what is the purpose of keeping him here? He is the enemy. Can't get in touch with him. If they don't pay tomorrow, I will kill
him. Claudio, don't do this.
Don't argue with me.
Claudio, don't do this.
This
is not the right thing.
Gordy sees Selena storm away from Claudio. Now with Brandt's man.
This is a satellite photo of the San Pablo region last night. 2250, we get a large heat and light anomaly consistent with an explosion here.
2 minutes later, building blown to dust.
We've got gorillas in uniform, some of them down. We have big man down on the street, woman and child, and this guy.
Brewer found the son of a bitch.
A little later, an ALC convoy arrives. Everyone loads up. The convoy travels 2 minutes upriver, and they step here.
And we'll see base camp. We'll come in through the treetops. We'll be over guerrilla territory for only 20 minutes.
All right. It will be impossible to keep this from Washington.
We've got a wounded American being tortured in a guerrilla camp. This is a rescue mission.
Yeah.
His colleagues nod.
We go in at dawn.
Yeah.
Now in the guerrillas' village camp, Selena returns to the stone barn. Mauro sees her, looking up from his schoolwork. Inside, Gordy eyes her warily as she approaches. She sits and places a small basket of food before him.
Why are you taking care of me?
Because you saved my son.
And your husband killed mine.
Selena averts her gaze. Gordy watches her intently.
When I first met Claudio, he was a teacher. He was in Guatemala. Sofia, our daughter, was born there. The guerrillas were all around us. They left us alone. One night, soldiers came to our village. They were led by American advisors. We crawled into the fields, but they threw grenades. Sofia, our baby girl, she was hit. She bled to death in Claudio's arms.
He turns his dirt-smudged face away.
Mauro was orphaned that night, so I took him in.
As she takes a deep breath, Gordy faces her.
Claudio joined the guerrillas. Now he's a man consumed by hate and driven by rage. Just like you.
I'm not like him.
Not yet.
What about you? If you keep working with him, you are no better than he is.
What would you have me do?
Me stop him.
Selena turns her smooth face away. A silver cross dangles from her neck.
It's too late.
Selena stands abruptly and leaves him. Later, in a tent, she crosses to a cot and tucks in Mauro, straightening the blanket over him. She strokes his head, then picks up his discarded backpack and toy dinosaur. In the barn, Gordy sits leaning against the stone foundation as he looks at a photo of his wife and son. The thick manacle chain dangles from his wrist. As Selena sits inside her tent and stares off, deep in thought, Gordy lowers the photo and gazes distantly. Morning. Two military choppers fly through a jungle valley. In one, Brant checks his watch. In the other, a special forces team holds assault rifles. Back in the barn, a dozing Gordy shoos away a bug. Selena enters with a backpack, and he looks up. She kneels before him and unlocks Gordy's manacles.
I'm trusting you with my life. And my son.
What are you talking about?
Claudio's gone to Washington to plant another bomb. I can't be a part of it anymore. They'll protect us, won't they?
He levels his green eyes on her.
If they won't, I will.
Outside, Mauro paces on a dirt road a few yards away. His mother sneaks out of the barn with Gordy crouching behind her. She waves the fireman out, and he ducks around the corner of the building. Mauro's gaze shifts between him and the road. Roman and other guerrillas jump up from a picnic table. In the air, Brant peers down from his chopper. As villagers flee, Selena and Gordy run, holding Mauro's hands. Brant gives an order.
Now!
Missiles strike the village, exploding into fiery clouds. Gordy, Selena, and Mauro hurry on. Now one chopper's whirling minigun cuts a path through a clearing full of guerrillas. Soldiers rappel down from the second helicopter. As more villagers flee, guerrillas fire from bunkers. Brant drools.
Let him go, Bobby!
More missiles fly from the side-mounted canisters, nosing into the bunkers and destroying more buildings. Villagers huddle together as more of the camp goes up in flames.
Target out.
Gordy, Mauro, and Selena stay on the move. Gordy leads them across a stream. A missile hits nearby.
Keep firing! Kill them all!
Billowing flames erupt from a concrete building. Gordy, Selena, and Mauro huddle in the shallow water. As the attack helicopter banks around black smoke, the deployed special forces advance on the guerrillas. A grenade knocks two rebels off their feet. Across the river, Gordy spots a crude red sign painted with a white skull and crossbones. As Brant's soldiers sweep through the village, Gordy ties a rope to a broken pickaxe. He tosses the axe head beyond the red warning signs. Meanwhile, the rugged operative coolly tosses a grenade into a shelter and plugs his closest ear. At the minefield, Gordy slowly reels in the broken pickaxe. It catches on a tripwire. As Selena holds Mauro, the rugged operative, and two others head after the foreign blast.
Let's go.
As Gordy helps the others onward, Brandt's helicopter lands in the village. He and the colonel stride across the clearing. Now Gordy hides behind a thick tree while Selena pulls Mauro safely behind another one 10 yards away. All three stand motionless as the rugged operative approaches with his rifle ready. Back in the village, Brandt kicks over Roman's dead body.
Looks like an officer.
Brandt checks a red folder. Meanwhile, Selena presses her son close to the tree as the rugged operative stalks closer. Gordy watches as the man steps between the trees. As he pivots towards Selena's tree, Gordy grabs the assailant's rifle and tosses it. He elbows the rugged man's face and punches his gut. The soldier retaliates, tackling him into the minefield. Gordy's arm lands near the forked trigger of a buried mine. The soldier punches Gordy twice, then draws a knife. Gordy blocks the attack, then rolls him over and chokes the soldier from behind. The soldier's boot shuffles around the mine's protruding trigger. Gordy punches him in the crotch and shoves him over. The fallen soldier crawls for his rifle and lifts it off another mine trigger.
Get down!
Gordy dives clear of the blast. In the village, Brandt hurries in response. Selena watches as Gordy spots an operative aiming at him. Brandt arrives.
Stand down! What we got here is a great American!
Now on his feet, Gordy lowers his raised hands.
Damn you, Brandt. I was your excuse to kill all these people, huh?
You're here to murder a man, right, Mr. Brewer? Well, I'm trying to save a country. Keep its poison off our streets.
They're killing innocent women and children?
I fight terrorists with terror.
What terrorists? The wolf isn't even here anymore. He's gone to Washington to blow up another building.
Brandt's wry smile vanishes.
What do you mean, where?
I'll tell you. As soon as I'm on a jet heading home. And they're gonna come with us. Because this is his wife and his son. And she's the only one that can identify the target.
Selena meets Brandt's cold stare. Now at an airport, Claudio rides an escalator in a dark suit. Elsewhere, words appear before an office building, Dulles State Department Annex, Washington, D.C. Inside, civilians and military personnel gather in the op center. An agent hangs up a phone and approaches Undersecretary Shrub.
Mr. Secretary, this just came in.
All right, I made the call. NSA, CIA, Southern Command, they're all at your disposal.
Folks, listen up. Washington Surveillance Command will assist with our search. So stay on station. Be ready for that relay.
Joe, we just got an audio-encoded email. We think it's authentic.
Run it.
As Pips, Shrug, and Dre listen, we see Claudio traveling into the city.
My last warning went unheard. The American people will pay for this mistake in blood. A bomb has been placed in your capital. By the time you hear this message, it will be too late for you to find it. And many of your citizens will die.
As Claudio walks toward a massive train station, Brandt, Gordy, Selena, and Mauro arrive at the annex.
There will be no mercy.
Selena retrieves her bag and Mauro's dinosaur toy on the other side of a metal detector.
We will continue to strike until the American public finally realizes the price of this war is one they cannot afford. Get out of Colombia, now. Sangre o libertad.
Inside the station, Claudio throws away a coffee cup, then sets his briefcase between the wastebasket and a potted tree. At the annex, Phipps meets Gordy.
Mr. Brewer, good to see you with all your fingers and toes, Captain.
Okay, this is Selena Perini.
Special Agent Phipps, this is Agent Dre.
How do you do?
If you would like to get started.
Have a seat. Good luck.
Please.
Selena sits in front of a computer.
We've assembled a series of pictures of buildings that have columns and arches, as you described to us, so we're going to go through them at a pretty quick rate. If you see anything that looks at all familiar, please give us the nod. Here we go, David.
We can also go back.
In the train station, arched windows cast light over bustling travelers. A white-bearded vagrant man spots the hidden briefcase back in the op center.
This next series, it's the same building, it's just different angles.
Can you zoom in on that?
A blonde agent shows her photos. As she spots Gordy and Mauro coloring nearby, they meet her gaze. Brandt eyes Gordy.
Keep going.
You two make quite a team. Fireman and the refugee. Sounds like a TV show.
You could play the ass?
With a tight smile, Brandt laughs. Now in the station, the bearded vagrant carries the briefcase. Dragging a wheeled cart, he heads deeper into the building. In an enclosed space with a yellow motorcycle, Claudio removes his dress shirt. An associate wearing coveralls attaches a Palm Pilot to the bike, then loads a gun. Claudio slides his arms into the sleeves of his own coveralls. Putting on a helmet, he steps out of a truck marked DC Gas and Electric. Back at the annex, Selena leans forward.
Wait, go back. Yes. This one.
That one?
Yeah.
Does that look familiar?
Yes, this picture.
Union Station, you got that? Yeah.
Dre provides another picture.
Yes.
Here's another shot of it.
Is that it? David, go back to and zoom in on the entrance, please.
Here's another view. Look at this one. Here's the entrance.
The entrance features broad arched windows.
Oh, my God, I think so.
Have Surveillance Command eyeball footage from every camera in the station in the last 24 hours.
Yes, sir.
On the street, an officer and canine get into a car as SWAT members hustle into a black truck. Under an overpass, Claudio's associate removes the screws from a service panel. In the bogus utility truck, Claudio revs the motorcycle and activates map on the Palm Pilot. As his partner removes the panel, Claudio throttles the motorcycle out of the truck and bangs a hard left into the service way. He rides down a flight of stairs along a lit passage. At the annex, Under Secretary Shrub leads Barbara Ramsey into the ops center.
Please don't get up.
Selena Perini, this is Secretary of State Barbara Ramsey.
I want you to know that we understand the sacrifice you're making here.
Thank you.
Fireman's over here.
Peter! Madam Secretary.
Sir?
I think we got something. Dave, the file's in your active bin.
The station lobby.
Surveillance just sent this down. It was taken off one of the Union Station monitors 13 minutes ago.
It's up. Tell us what we're looking at.
First photograph, bottom left, man behind the trees.
Got it.
Briefcase in his hand.
Right here.
Second photograph, passes behind the trees. Briefcase is gone.
Punch in on that.
An agent presses a key, enlarging the figure on screen.
On the face.
They zoom in, revealing Claudio's face. Gordy narrows his eyes and looks to Selena.
Yeah, that's him.
Tell our team the location of that surveillance camera.
Gordy knits his brow.
It's almost rush hour.
Selena stares at him. Now underground, Claudio heads down the passageway and stops at a closed gate. He swipes a card through a control box on the wall. As the gate lifts, the terrorist motors onward. Elsewhere, a gated entrance opens. With its headlights beaming, the DC Gas and Electric truck pulls into a garage. Now SWAT members and city policemen rush into Union Station. In the lobby, one gunman directs others with a hand signal. Men's room travelers walk past the stalls. Inside one, the vagrant shakes the briefcase and turns the number dials next to its clasps. At the annex, Gordy takes Mauro by the hand and leads him over to Selena. As they approach, Selena looks into Gordy's eyes, then gazes at the child. The fire captain takes a seat and studies her solemn face intensely.
The right thing.
The terrorist's wife rests her head against her hand.
I hope so.
Not sure. Look, it's something you had to do.
Selena gazes at him, then shakes her head.
Right now, I don't feel very good about anything.
Sorry about that.
Selena turns away.
Look, everything will be all right.
She stares at her husband's image on screen, then faces the blonde-haired agent.
Excuse me. Can you show me to the restroom?
Sure.
The agent slides a cell phone into a holder and gets up. Selena faces Gordy.
Are you all right?
Shifting her eyes, she rises from her chair and heads away from him. As Gordy watches, Selena takes Mauro's hand. The boy pulls away from her. She heads back for him, but Mauro shakes his head. Selena slaps the back of one hand against her palm.
Hey.
Gordy puts his arm up.
It's gonna be fine with me.
Blinking, Selena takes several deep breaths and stares at them.
Why don't you go ahead?
Selena's eyes lower and she nods. As the blonde agent leads her out of the room, Selena keeps her eyes fixed on Mauro. Heading into a hallway, she turns back and gazes through the window. Gordy faces forward with a narrow stare. He focuses on a poster-sized image of the cloaked terrorist hanging across the room. Furrowing his brow, Gordy heads toward a wall of printouts. As he draws closer, Ramsey approaches.
Mr. Brewer, I just want to express to you my sympathy.
He passes her.
As long as America continues its aggression in Colombia,
remember the last
we'll bring the bomb to you. And you will not feel safe in your own beds. Colombia is not your country.
Gordy remembers the wolf hitting the back of one hand against the other. He remembers Selena doing the same.
Sangre o libertad.
Gordy's eyes shift. He turns and walks out of the op center, then starts running.
Where's he going?
Brandt looks around. In the train station men's room, the vagrant pries open one latch with a dirty knife, then works on the other. Officers enter and clear the area. As he goes to open the case, the police kick the door open.
Don't open it!
Startled, he drops the case and it opens. It's empty. At the annex, Gordy heads past a copy machine. In the woman's restroom, the blonde-haired agent passes a paper towel to Selena, who leans over a sink. Wiping her nose, Selena backs up, then punches the agent into a stall door. Meanwhile, Brandt enters the hallway. In the bathroom, Selena snaps the agent's neck. The American drops, and Selena steals her gun. Now Gordy quickened his pace. In the bathroom, Selena removes the agent's cell phone and key card. She steps over the body and heads into the hallway. Looking both ways, she pushes open a glass door and moves on. Now Gordy charges into the restroom and spots the agent's body on the floor. He turns and spots Selena through the glass.
Selena!
Dialing the cell phone, she turns. In a flashback, Selena wears a blonde wig at the lunch patio in Los Angeles. As Claudio passes her in the police uniform, she dials on a cell phone.
Selena! Selena!
She boards an elevator.
Stop her!
As it closes, a man on board eyes her. Selena jabs the man's throat and draws the gun. Outside the glass door, Brandt spots Gordy.
Open the door! Open the door!
Brandt checks the bathroom and finds the dead agent. He draws his gun.
Open up the door! Open up now!
As Gordy looks into a camera, he remembers Selena picking up Mauro's dinosaur toy at the security checkpoint. Now in the op center, Mauro plays with the toy. He presses a button on the bottom and the dinosaur's eyes glow red. On a monitor, Gordy appears pounding on the op center doors. While Brandt enters the stairwell, Selena dials the cell phone. Now the ops doors slide open. Mauro crawls under the table. As Gordy picks up a silver case, Shrub and the agents take cover. The fire captain hurls the case, shattering a skylight. As Selena presses the cell phone send button in the elevator, Gordy flings the toy dinosaur out through the broken window. It explodes. As fire briefly surges through the windows, Gordy protects Mauro under the table. Outside, a cloud of flames flashes atop the building. While the op center shakes, Selena presses the elevator's lobby button. Now, in the gas and electric truck, Claudio's partner flips a switch connected to a large block of explosives. In the op center, people get to their feet.
Get her out of here!
Take care of the boy, okay?
A woman in a suit cradles Mauro. As strong wind scatters papers, Gordy grabs a thin strip of metal. In the stairwell, Agent Brandt races down flight after flight. In the elevator, Selena watches the aluminum numbers count down from 10. She takes out the gun. In the op center, Gordy rushes out to the elevator doors and inserts the strip into a seam at the top. Downstairs, Brandt rushes along with his gun drawn. Several people wait by an elevator. He stops in front and focuses on the lit down arrow. Inside, Selena readies the gun. Upstairs, Gordy pries the elevator doors open and looks into the shaft at the descending elevator. Downstairs, the elevator opens. Brandt aims his gun. As As the agent shoots, Selena jumps out and shoots him. Brandt falls back with a bullet hole between his eyebrows. Selena rapidly presses a button and the doors close. Above, Gordy pulls off his leather belt as he watches the elevator resume its descent. He wraps the ends around his palms. As Selena watches the floor numbers drop, still gripping her gun, Gordy jumps to the cables. He dangles a moment, wincing, then slides down the elevator cables. Selena looks up suddenly. Gordy's boots skid alongside the cables as he rapidly plummets in a standing position. The elevator halts on the third floor and an emergency stoplight flashes. Gordy's belt smokes as his meaty hands press the leather to the cables. Meanwhile, Selena shoots open a floor hatch. As Gordy's speeding form nears the stopped car, she escapes out under the elevator. Her pistol drops. Gordy lets go of the cables and crashes through the roof of the elevator. Selena hides against the side of the shaft. Shaking his head, Gordy pushes himself up and notices the open hatch. Now he lowers himself feet first through the opening. As he dangles from the elevator car, Selena peeks from the shadows. She kicks him in the stomach, face, and chest. He manages to land on a steel beam. As he looks back, Selena swings over to the closed doors and kicks a lever. The doors open. Gordy jumps at her, but Selena swings out of the shaft out to the open floor. He swings out after her. As she sprints across a lobby, dodging panicked employees, Gordy gives chase. Now Selena hurries down two escalators, and Gordy follows the floor behind. At the bottom, she bursts into a basement level and hops down a metal staircase. Claudio waits on his motorcycle. He looks back sharply and spots Selena reaching the bottom steps. As Gordy bursts into the basement level, she sprints toward Claudio in the tunnel and hops on the back of the bike.
Vamonos!
Claudio peels out and speeds off down the tunnel just as Gordy runs out after them. He watches the fading taillight round a distant corner. Scowling, he turns back to the entrance. Passing a sprawled security guard with bullet wounds in his chest, Gordy steps behind a control panel. He eyes a map of the tunnels, then checks the desk's security monitors. He watches the motorcycle zip down corridors. As Selena holds onto Claudio on the motorcycle, Gordy pushes buttons labeled with gate numbers. He looks to the monitors in time to see several tunnel fences lowering into place. As the escaping terrorists approach gate 3, Claudio wipes out and they slam sideways into the lowering metal fence. Selena hops off and uses the stolen security key card on the wall console. A red light flashes and the gate remains lowered.
Stop working! Go back to the controls!
Selena hops back on and they ride off. Back at the security station, Gordy steps beside a red fire axe mounted on a pegboard of tools. Staring down the tunnel, he takes it off the wall, then steps forward. Meanwhile, Claudio's yellow motorcycle jumps a rise in the tunnel. Farther ahead, Gordy uses the axe spike tip to puncture holes in gas pipes lining the tunnel. As the terrorists speed closer, Gordy moves up and down the corridor, poking more holes in the parallel gas lines. He looks with alarm down the tunnel, then quickly hurries back toward the security station, chopping a few more holes along the way. As the motorcycle races down a dark section of tunnel, Gordy reaches the exit door and stands a few yards in front of the security desk, his gaze leveled on the approaching couple. The motorcycle's headlight gleams at the far end of the corridor as the terrorists approach. Gordy stands calmly, waiting. Sweat glistens on his unshaven jaw. On the motorcycle, Selena pulls a pistol from Claudio's shoulder bag. As she shoots, Gordy drops his axe and runs. On Selena's third shot, muzzle flare ignites the gas. The tunnel erupts into flame behind her. Gordy looks over his shoulder as he races to the exit. The flames wash over the motorcycle and they wipe out. The blast knocks the exit door off its hinges and sends Gordy flying. He skids to the stairway and slides underneath it, covering his head. Flaming debris bounces against the stairs all around him. Gordy looks and sees one wheel rim spinning on its side a few feet away from a flaming tire. In slow motion, he looks past the burning wreckage to the destroyed tunnel. Small fires burn all along the length of the corridor. Gordy shakes his head and slowly sits up. He rests his head against the wall. Reflected firelight flickers on his face. He breathes heavily as he hunches down against the cement. Now Gordy paces toward the tunnel, stepping over the smoldering wreckage. His eyes squint through the smoke as he steps into the corridor. Broken stone and debris litter the floor. A tubular fluorescent bulb flickers as it hangs loosely from an overhead fixture. As Gordy steps past the security desk, Selena jumps him. She slams him against a gate. As Selena kicks Gordy repeatedly, Claudio swings the cycle's muffler across Gordy's jaw. Retaliating, he elbows Selena away and punches Claudio. As the terrorist falls, Selena jumps on Gordy's back and chokes him. He grabs her by the hair, muscles her off, and hurls her toward the control panel. Sparks fly as the glass shatters. Selena convulses violently. Claudio gapes as her body drops limply to the floor. He trembles, scowling at Gordy, then charges, swinging the muffler. Gordy blocks the first blow, but a kick from Claudio drops him to his knees. He crawls away as Claudio beats him with the fat pipe. The terrorist briskly turns to his dead wife. As Gordy winces on his stomach, Claudio faces the fireman and drops the muffler. Gordy rolls over. Claudio bites the tip of his glove and peels it off. He retrieves a cell phone from his pocket and opens it. As he dials, Gordy reaches into the debris.
When you're going to kill me.
No!
Gripping the now broken axe, he flings it. The head spins through the air and lodges in Claudio's chest. Claudio falls back against the security desk, dropping the phone. His mouth hangs open as he slides down, then falls over onto his side. His body slumps as Gordy struggles to his feet. Gordy takes a few shaky steps, then picks up the cell phone. He eyes the completed number on its screen, waiting to be sent. A message blinks cancel, and he closes the phone. As he looks down at Claudio's staring corpse, flames flicker all around them. The light dances off Gordy's stern face. He moves over to Selena's body and studies her open, lifeless eyes. He takes a long, deep breath. Later in the rain, onlookers point at the damaged annex building. Rescue vehicles crowd the road. Phipps and Dre stand in the middle of the street. Shrub notices Gordy emerging from the building along with several military officers. As Gordy rounds past an ambulance, Phipps and Dre spot him. They end their cell phone calls and approach.
Well, we're going to have to get back to the place.
Mr. Brewer?
It's over.
For you, sir, I hope that's true.
Where's the boy?
Right here, sir.
Across the street, the suited woman points toward them. Mauro runs forward through the rain with outstretched arms. Gordy picks him up in one arm and carries him to a waiting black SUV.
First terrorist attack on our nation's capital.
Mayor State Ramsey miraculously escaped unharmed.
Discovered a utility vehicle in an underground garage of the State Department loaded with enough explosives to vaporize several cities.
The death of a high-level security official whose identity was bomb placed by a Colombian terrorist known to authorities as the
largest disasters in American history.
The White House announced an hour ago that the president will personally award Captain Gordon Brewer the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest decoration a civilian can receive. Despite all efforts to contact him, Captain Brewer remains unavailable for comment.
Fade to black.